This small town baker bought his butter from the local farmer. He began being suspicious of the amount of butter he was getting. He felt like it was getting less and less, even though he was paying the same amount. So the baker figured that the farmer must be cutting back, and so he decided to take him to court and accused him of fraud. So the judge asked the farmer, he says, "Do you have measuring weights?" And the farmer said, "No." Well, the judge said, "Well, then how do you weigh the butter to make sure it's accurately weighed?" And he said, "Well, when the baker decided to buy my butter from me, I decided, well, then I'll go ahead and buy my bread from him. So I use his 1 pound loaves to weigh the butter that I give to him. So if he's getting less butter than he expects, he only has himself to blame." This guy, the baker, is suing the farmer for doing something that he himself is doing and the farmer is not. What a hypocrite, huh? I mean, isn't that what we would call this guy, a hypocrite? Have you ever known anybody who's a hypocrite? Probably all are thinking of people right now in our minds. You know, someone who might say one thing and do another. Someone who acts one way when they're with you and then another way when they're with other people. Maybe someone who accuses you of doing something wrong and really it's the ones that are doing it. Maybe someone who made a promise and then intentionally broke it. Or maybe someone who was preaching moral standards to you and they didn't even abide by them. You know, I'm sure we've all been around hypocrites. And it's really hard to trust a hypocrite, isn't it? Because you don't know if they're going to do what they say or they're going to be loyal to you or what might happen. You know, especially if there are people that we would expect to be looking out for our best interest. If they turn out to be hypocrites, it's almost impossible to trust somebody like that. But the question I really want you to think about this morning is, have you ever been a hypocrite? Have you ever been a hypocrite? Now, be honest. You know, I think we've all acted like hypocrites at least once or twice in our lives or maybe many times. You know, sometimes we want people to think better of us than if they knew who we really were. Sometimes we don't intend to break a promise that we make to someone, but circumstances change and it becomes impossible for us to do that. Or, you know, maybe we've desired to live up to the standard of Christ-likeness, but we just have found that we struggled. I think if we're honest, we all are sometimes hypocrites, where we don't have the integrity where our life lines up with our beliefs and our values. The things we say, the things we do are not always consistent with each other. But that's not an excuse, is it? You know, we can't make an excuse that, well, you know, sometimes, you know, I just can't help it. You know, I end up being a hypocrite. Because God tells us that the standard we are to strive for is to be holy like he is holy. And there's no hypocrisy in that kind of a standard. We are to strive to be holy as God is holy, consistently live Christ-like lives in every aspect of our life without hypocrisy. So as we continue our study of Luke today, Jesus is going to confront the religious leaders for their hypocrisy. And we know enough about their reputation in Scripture, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, all those different people who make up the religious leaders of Israel. They claim to represent God, and they should have been the most godly people in their culture. But sadly, they weren't. They were very often hypocrites. And Jesus was very blunt, and as we'll see this morning, in confronting them for their hypocrisy. And in the passage we're going to study today, we'll see several characteristics that Jesus just rapid fire confronts the religious leaders for as they were demonstrating hypocrisy. And what I want us to think about as we see Jesus' condemnation of these religious leaders who should have been the godliest people in their culture, are we ever like them? Ask yourself, am I like them. Is Jesus talking to me? Because it's very possible that we can be hypocrites. And I want us to not look at this and say, oh yeah, that applies to someone I know. Oh yeah, so-and-so does that. But ask yourself, is God speaking to me as we look at these? So let's turn to Luke chapter 11 and continue our study through this Gospel of Luke. The first characteristic that we will note here is this. We might be a hypocrite if we focus on externals instead of internals. If we focus on externals instead of internals, that's what Jesus confronted the Pharisees for. Luke 11, verse 37. Now, when he had spoken, a Pharisee asked him to have lunch with him, and he went in and reclined at the table. When the Pharisee saw it, he was surprised that he had not first ceremonially washed before the meal. So here's this Pharisee invites Jesus for a meal. Now, it's important that we understand the New Testament Pharisees, who they were. They rightly have a bad reputation, and we know that. But what we really need to understand is that they're the most like us in our culture today. If we had been living back then, we probably would have wanted to be a Pharisee in this sense. You see, the Pharisees, they believed the basic fundamentals of Scripture, things we do. They believed in the inspiration and the authority of Scripture. They believed in Satan and angels. They believed in heaven. They believed in the supernatural. They believed in the resurrection of the dead. We would have believed much the same things that they believed. And you see, the Pharisees, they were devoted to obeying Scripture. You can't fault them for not wanting to do what God said. And they wanted to help other people obey God's word. They were very serious-minded and wanted to help other people. And so what they decided to do, the Old Testament law, the law of Moses, had God's instructions, his commandments for people. And so they decided, well, you know, we want to make sure people understand how they should obey what God has required of them. So they decided, let's break those things down into smaller, easier issues that people can focus on to obey. Like, for example, the Sabbath. You hear a lot about working on the Sabbath. You know, they came up with dozens, if not hundreds, of specific laws. God said, don't work on the Sabbath. And so they decided, okay, this is working on the Sabbath, this is working on the Sabbath, so you can't do those. So their intentions were very well as they wanted to help people better understand how to obey God's laws. But the problem was that by the time of Jesus, these Pharisees had come to put more emphasis, more weight on their rules that they added to what God said, so that when they were teaching people and dealing with people, it wasn't so much what did God say, but what do our traditions, our oral traditions, what do we say about it? They were substituting their rules, their requirements, for what God had said. And that's where we come by the time of Jesus. That is where they have devolved, you might say, to in that time. And these Pharisees, they believed they were superior spiritually to every other Jew, because in their effort to obey God's word, to teach it, they believed that they obeyed all those rules that they added. And you see, since they're making up the rules, it's easy to say, yeah, I'm keeping the rules, I'm doing it. They weren't saying, I'm doing what God says. They're saying, I'm doing what we have required, what we think God means by what he says. So they meticulously sought to obey all their rules that they had added to God's law and thought they were superior. They didn't think they needed a Savior, and we notice throughout Luke and then our understanding of New Testament scripture, you know, they felt they were righteous in God's eyes. And so that's where they are by the time of Jesus. So this situation, Luke records, this Pharisee was surprised that Jesus didn't wash his hands ceremonially before eating the meal. That's one of their rules that they had added to God's law. This is nowhere recorded in scripture in the Old Testament that you're required to do this. It's one of their added rules to how people should live their lives. It was symbolic. The ceremonial washing wasn't for hygiene. You know, our moms always told us, wash your hands before you eat. This isn't even that. You don't want to be defiled. You want to make sure that you're ceremonially clean. So there were all kinds of occasions where they were required to cleanse themselves. So Jesus confronted this Pharisee's focus on externals instead of internals. In 39, says, but the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cups and the platter, but inside you are full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give that which is within as charity, and then all things are clean for you. So Jesus is sitting at the table, maybe, with this Pharisee. They're eating. He sees these cups and platters there, and he uses those to illustrate this point. He's accusing the Pharisees of washing the outside of the utensils they will eat out of, but not washing the inside. The inside is filthy, unsanitary. Nobody would want to eat out of these unwashed bowls and platters. You see, the Pharisees were claiming to be clean on the outside because they kept all the rules that they had made. But what Jesus is saying, they're actually dirty on the inside. They're guilty of robbery, of greed, of taking from the people and taking advantage of the people. They're guilty of wickedness. And he's talking about their inner motives, their attitudes, the sinfulness that is on the inside. And Jesus reminded them that God saw what was going on their inside, in their hearts. They might be fooling people that they are spiritual, that they are righteous, but they're not fooling God. And Jesus, this is in a sense a warning to them that God was going to hold them accountable for what was on the inside, not as much as what was on the outside. In fact, Jesus in verse 41 made this application. If you're going to do good deeds, it should come out of love in your heart, not out of keeping rules, when he says there, but give that which is within as charity, for then all things are clean for you. Instead of performing their man-made rituals, Jesus is challenging them to demonstrate from their hearts that they are right with God by giving to the poor out of charity, out of love. You see, Jesus knew how the Pharisees loved to make a big show. When they contributed money in the temple, they wanted everybody to see how much they were giving and how generous they were. They weren't giving out of love inside. It was going through an external act to draw attention to themselves. So the Pharisees were hypocrites because they focused on externals rather than internals. So let me ask you to evaluate yourself. Are you more concerned about acting like you think a Christian should act on the outside than being sincere on the inside? Are you more concerned about what people see, what they look at on the outside? Are you content to just do and say the right things? Maybe your heart is filled with selfishness, with sinful desires. Maybe there's greed there, lust, anger, resentment. Are you more focusing on externals than internals? Remember, as Jesus said, God sees our hearts. He knows what's going on, and he's not fooled by the externals. But hypocrites like to focus on the externals instead of the internals. So what we need to do is make sure we're focusing on the internals, not the externals, so we won't be a hypocrite. Another characteristic of hypocrites, Jesus surfaces, we might be a hypocrite if we care more about rules than about God. If we care more about rules than about God. Jesus, again, condemned the Pharisees for this, verse 42. But woe to you Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love of God. But these are things you should have done without neglecting the others. Woe, that term that Jesus uses there, it signified a warning of judgment that was coming. But the warning was accompanied by pity for the person who was going to receive the judgment. So in Jesus' voice, in Jesus' heart, he is saying, you religious leaders, you Pharisees, are guilty of this, and I pity what will happen to you as a result, because God is going to hold you accountable for that. He confronted the Pharisees for meticulously counting. You see, the tithe, the first tithe that they gave was one-tenth, and these Pharisees meticulously counted one-tenth of the tiny seeds, the leaves from the herbs that they grew in their garden. And once again, this is not a requirement from Scripture. This is not Scripture-based. It's what they have added to. You see, farmers at that time were expected to give the first tenth of their crops to the temple as an acknowledgement of their dependence on God and on God's faithfulness to provide for their needs. Nowhere are they required to give a tenth of their garden vegetables. But see, these Pharisees, they want to come across as super spiritual. We're going to go way beyond anything God's word says, and we're going to count out all the seeds that we have, all the leaves, you know, as you think of herbs, and we're going to give a tenth of that so that people realize, wow, look at their devotion. Look how committed they are. They're focused on rules. But then Jesus accused the Pharisees of failing to obey the most basic command of Scripture. They are to love God. In fact, Jesus said, if you want to summarize what God's law is, you love God most and you love your neighbor as yourself, right? And Jesus says, you're doing all this minutia of tithing things you're not even required to so that you look so spiritual, but you're not even loving God. You see, it's external, not an internal thing. They're focused on rules more than they are on God. You see, their actions demonstrated they love themselves most as they followed their man-made rules instead of loving God most and obeying what he said in his word. And they refused to love their neighbors as themselves by exploiting the poor and condemning people that they considered sinners. So Jesus says, yeah, you're all concerned about keeping your rules, but where's your love for God? That's missing. You see, these religious leaders, these Pharisees, believed they were pleasing God by meticulously following their rules they had made up when they should have been loving God and people by wholeheartedly obeying God's instructions. And Jesus said, if your focus was on loving God first, loving your neighbor as yourself, well, you would do all the things that you are required of you, but out of love instead of out of keeping rules. You see, the Pharisees were hypocrites. They cared more about rules than about God. And you know, you might be a hypocrite too if you care more about rules than about God. Do you pride yourself in doing the things you think will impress God or other people? You know, going to church, giving money, volunteering, doing the things that you think God's impressed with, reading your Bible, praying, instead of striving to grow closer in your relationship with God, instead of learning to love him more, instead of desiring to obey him out of love for him and serve other people that he's placed in your life. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to go to church, good to give money, good to serve, good to pray and read God's word. I mean, all that's yes. But if it's done out of some duty or obligation to follow some rules that either you've imposed on yourself or you feel someone else has, Well, God's not impressed with that at all. He wants us to love him and do those things out of love for him, yes, but not to focus on rules more than God. We need to care more about God than rules, so we're not hypocrites. Here's a third characteristic Jesus confronted. We might be a hypocrite if we seek people's praise rather than God's glory. Seek people's praise rather than God's glory. Again, Jesus goes on to condemn the Pharisees for doing this in verse 43. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the chief seats in the synagogues and the respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Jesus confronted the Pharisees for seeking the praise of people because, see, they thought they were such outstanding role models and such spiritual giants that people should praise them for the measure of spirituality they had attained to. They considered themselves the epitome of people who were righteous in God's eyes. And Jesus says, they sat in the front of the synagogues in seats that faced the congregation. Now, these seats, the front row, which you see are open here, we have room for these people if you want to move forward and take these positions of honor. How come it is in our churches it's usually the back seats that are filled? But anyway, these Pharisees sat in front. Those rows face the people. And that way everybody's looking at them and they're thinking, oh, man, look at those godly men up there. These men sat up front because they thought people should praise them, and they took those positions of honor, and they were gladly given to them by the people. Again, you know, they didn't force this. That's how the people would have viewed them as well. This gave them a sense of authority over the people. Jesus said they loved the greetings in the marketplace when people would refer to them as rabbi. You know, it was like it just stoked their ego, like, yeah, I'm the teacher of God's law. I am a godly leader. These people look up to me. So they were all about themselves. They used their position for personal gain rather than to serve God's people. You see, they're not devoting themselves in their religious life to serve others, but to be served. Their selfish desire for praise was the exact opposite of what God expected of them. As the religious leaders, as representatives of God, they should have dedicated their lives to glorifying God. He should have been the one they were striving to bring glory to, not praise for themselves. They should have committed themselves to sacrificially serve God's people, to help them to know God and love him and serve him, not draw attention to themselves, that they would praise them. They should have been examples of godliness. They claimed to be serving God, but they were only serving themselves. You see, Jesus says these Pharisees were hypocrites. They sought people's praise rather than God's glory. And again, you might be a hypocrite if you seek people's praise instead of God's glory. Who do you hope gets all the praise for the way you live your life as a Christian? Who do you hope gets that praise? Do you want people to praise you for what you do as a Christian? Or is it your desire that people would glorify God for what they see him doing through you? You see, that focus there on wanting praise from people is in direct contrast with wanting to praise God and glorify him by how we live our lives. Do you make sure people see what you do for the Lord, or are you willing to serve him even if nobody knows? Because it's all about glorifying God, not seeking praise for yourself. You see, God deserves all the credit for anything we do for him anyway, doesn't he? So when we try to usurp God's glory by seeking praise, we're being hypocritical. We need to seek God's glory instead of people's praise so that we're not hypocrites. A fourth characteristic Jesus confronted: we might be a hypocrite if we have a negative rather than a positive influence on other people. Have a negative rather than positive influence on others. Again, Jesus condemned the Pharisees for this. Verse 44, "Woe to you, for you are like concealed tombs, and the people who walk over them are unaware of it." Now, this is an interesting way of confronting these Pharisees. Back in the law, Numbers 19, God said that people who touch a corpse or a grave become ceremonially unclean. So graves, by the time of Jesus, and even in that time, were clearly marked so that a person would never walk over a grave or touch a tombstone or anything and be defiled. So by comparing the Pharisees to these, what he says, concealed tombs, unmarked graves, people didn't know they were there, Jesus is confronting the Pharisees for defiling the people by their legalistic influence on them. You see, by their teaching, their example, they were causing people to be hypocrites just like them. Their focus was on externals instead of internals. They cared more about rules than about God. They sought people's praise rather than God's glory, just like the Pharisees were. You see, the people, the Jews, they trusted the Pharisees to be a positive spiritual influence in their lives. They represented God. They should be teaching them how to live for God, what God expects of them. And that's what the Jews expected of them, and rightly so. But the Pharisees ended up being negative spiritual influences who corrupted the people, just like the hidden graves would. Jesus said, "You Pharisees claim to be godly influences, but you're ungodly influences. People don't even know that you're misleading them. You are corrupting other people just as you are corrupt." You see, they were having a negative rather than a positive influence on them. Jesus also condemned the scribes, another part of the religious leaders, for having a negative instead of a positive influence. Verse 45, after Jesus said this, one of the Pharisees, or lawyers, and lawyers, or another name is scribes. These weren't lawyers who were legal advisors or dealt with that, but scribes, they were the ones who were the experts in the interpretation and application of God's law and all the rules that they had made. So this lawyer, this scribe, said to him in reply, "Teacher, when you say this, you insult us too." Then he said, "Woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers." So this scribe accused Jesus of insulting all the scribes when he was insulting the Pharisees, saying that they were a negative influence. They were corrupting the people they were supposed to be leading spiritually. The scribe said that you insult us when you insult them. Jesus confronted the scribe for adding all the extra rules that were supposed to help the people know how to obey the law, when he said, "You weigh men down with burdens too hard to bear." You see, all the added rules made it impossible for the people to do what the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders were saying God expected of them. There were so many added rules to what God said that the people are like, "I don't know if I'm breaking what or not. How do I know?" I mean, like, again, working on the Sabbath, the most silly things that you could do, you couldn't carry more than a certain amount of weight in your pocket, or you were working. I mean, just the silliest thing. It's like, how could they possibly know if they were keeping everything and pleasing God? Because the religious leaders taught them, you have to obey all these laws, these rules that we give to you, because then that will help you do what God says. And Jesus is confronting them. They're burdening the people. This isn't what God requires of them. This is what you require of them, he's saying. And what's worse, the scribes didn't even try to help the people understand and obey the rules. He said, you will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers. They burdened the people with all these additional rules. And instead of trying to help the people obey them, they just condemned the people because they couldn't do it. You see, this elevated themselves in their mind. We are doing it. You can't. We are so superior to you. So they're not even helping them understand and obey what they are requiring of them. Such hypocrites they were. The scribes should have been positive influences, but they were negative influences. So here, the Pharisees and the scribes, two groups a part of this religious leaders committee, they should have been positive influences, but they were negative influences instead. And again, let's just think about this in our lives. You might be a hypocrite if you have a negative influence on people instead of a positive influence. If other people followed your example, talk the way you talk, act the way you act, go the places you go, as the way you live your life, would they become more like Christ or less like Christ? People are watching us. They see what we do. Are you a positive influence or a negative influence? Do you encourage others in their Christian walk? By coming alongside them and saying, you know, I see what you're doing and God's working in your life, or do you discourage them? Are you more likely to criticize somebody else for the sins that you see in their life rather than encouraging them to grow spiritually? Are you a positive or a negative influence? You see, we need to strive to be positive influences, not negative influences, so that we won't be hypocrites. Well, a fifth characteristic that Jesus confronts the religious leaders for, we might be a hypocrite if we condemn other sins while committing the same sins. If we condemn other sins while committing the same sins. Jesus condemned the scribes for condemning other sins in the past while they're committing the same sins themselves in the present. Listen to what he says in verse 47. Woe to you! For you build tombs, the word tombs there is probably better monuments to these people who have already died. Woe to you, for you build tombs of the prophets, and it was your fathers who killed them. So you are witnesses and approve the deeds of your fathers because it was they who killed them, and you built their tombs or monuments. For this reason, also, the wisdom of God said, I will send to them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill, and some they will persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the house of God. Yes, I tell you, it shall be charged against this generation. Now, what Jesus is referring to here, I'm just kind of summarize his argument here. In the Old Testament, you'll recall, if you have any in recollection, that the evil people, rebellious people, what did they do when God sent a prophet or when God sent a messenger to confront them for their sinfulness? They persecuted them, they ran them off, they killed them. That's how they treated the prophets. Abel was the first martyr recorded in the Old Testament. Zechariah, the prophet, the last martyr recorded in the Old Testament. So Jesus says from the beginning to the end of history in the Old Testament, that's how people often treated God's messengers. So Jesus is confronting the scribes here for pretending to honor the Old Testament messengers, prophets. You're building monuments to them and saying how great and how godly they were, when actually they are going to do the same thing to the messengers God sent in their generation. The apostles that would take over after Jesus left, and most significantly, Jesus himself, God's ultimate messenger. So they're saying, we're building monuments to those prophets, how great they were. And the people back then killed them. And Jesus is saying, you're doing the same thing. That's what you will do in your lifetime. They were applauding the Old Testament prophets and condemning the rebellious Old Testament people who killed them. But they're going to do the same thing. Jesus explained that God in his wisdom would prove that the religious leaders of his day were far worse sinners than the Old Testament people. because they are repeating the same sins of their ancestors, and they will ultimately kill him. And Jesus said, all of the judgment of God is going to build up so that, to this generation of those people he lives in. They had the Old Testament, all the examples of how the messengers of God were rejected. They have Jesus at that time. They're going to have the apostles after Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you are far more guilty because of how much truth you are rejecting. You're looking at the past and supposedly honoring these men, but you're going to do the same thing to God's messengers today. And you will face God's judgment for that. They would face God's judgment for rejecting the messengers of God from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. Far more knowledge that they were rejecting, God would hold them accountable for. You see, Jesus says the scribes are hypocrites. They're condemning others' sins while committing the same sins themselves. And this is something we need to really take to heart. You might be a hypocrite if you condemn other sins while committing the same sins yourself. Have you ever found yourself pointing out somebody else's sin only to be reminded or convicted that you are doing the same thing? Isn't it so much easier to see sins in other people than in ourselves? We can justify and rationalize what we do, but we're going to condemn other people for what they do. The truth is, the sins that we often point out in other people are the very sins that we are guilty of in some form that is similar. Are we condemning other people while committing the same sins? You see, when we're tempted to criticize and condemn other people for their sins, we need to say, God, am I guilty of that? Search me. Am I committing the same sin? You see, we need to strive not to condemn other people and commit the same sins, because if we are, we're a hypocrite. One final characteristic. We might be a hypocrite if we turn people away from Christ instead of to him. These are building in seriousness, and you can understand how this is the last one, Jesus, his condemnation here. We're a hypocrite if we turn people away from Christ instead of toward him. Verse 52, woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you hindered those who were entering. When he left there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to be very hostile and to question him closely on many subjects, plotting against him to catch him in something he might say. So Jesus confronted these scribes for failing to teach the people the truth of Old Testament scripture. If they had faithfully taught the people this Old Testament scripture, it would have been clear that he was the Messiah. He fulfilled everything that the Old Testament scriptures predicted would happen. But because these scribes, these religious leaders, they rejected Jesus, they taught the people to reject Jesus as well. They rejected what God said in the Old Testament scriptures, and they rejected Jesus. Instead, they taught the people, you have to obey all these rules that we have given you. If you want to obey God and be acceptable to him, you have to follow our example. You have to be righteous according to what we say is righteousness. They should have been pointing them to Jesus. He's the Messiah. You see, this is the key of knowledge, to be able to understand God's word and to understand that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's word. He's their Messiah. They need to accept him. And if they would do that, they would enter his kingdom. But as Jesus says, you yourselves did not enter. You're not going to enter the kingdom of God, which is available through faith in Jesus. And you hindered those who were entering. You are keeping other people out of the kingdom of God because you are misleading them. You're deceiving the people. Even after Jesus confronted him, Luke concludes here that the religious leaders still refused to repent. He pointed it out so clear. But what do? They try to get rid of him. Continue to act as hypocrites when they should have been representing God and helping the people. This is the worst hypocritical behavior of the Pharisees and scribes. they turn people away from Christ instead of to him. This is such an important characteristic of hypocrites that we really need to ask God to reveal if we're doing this. It's possible we could be hypocrites if we're turning people away from Christ instead of toward him. Is it possible that you have turned somebody away from Christ because of what they have observed in your life, your hypocritical behavior? What a horrible thing it is to think we could turn somebody away from Christ by what they hear from us, what they observe in us, what they watch us do. Don't be a hypocrite. Other people's lives, their eternity is even depending on how we live our lives. People are watching us to see how we live. We need to make sure we are living Christ-like lives, not hypocritical lives, that we are seeking to follow God's word and the Holy Spirit as he helps us apply God's word in our lives, that we are representing God. We're not looking out for ourselves and trying to pretend we're something we're not. We're not trying to convince other people that they should look to us. We need to be pointing people to God, pointing people to Christ, so that we don't turn people away from him, but to him. Let's not be hypocrites. Jesus came down really hard, and he often does in the Gospels, on these religious leaders who should have been God's representatives, the most godly people, but yet they were hypocrites. And if we're not careful, we can be hypocrites in how we live our lives. Let's make sure we're turning people to Christ, not away from him. Father, thank you for these words from Jesus. Even as he confronts the religious leaders of his day, we realize how easy it is for us to be like them, to be hypocritical in the way we live our lives. Father, we know the only way we can overcome our self-centered tendencies is as we spend time in your word, listening to what you teach us on how we should live our lives. And then as we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and respond to his leading and putting that to practice in our lives. It's so easy for us to be hypocrites if we're trying to do things on our own. But Father, through your guidance and your working in our lives, we can live godly lives. We can live Christ-like lives that will help people to be drawn closer to Christ rather than turning them away from Christ. Help us, Father, to be those kind of people, those examples by the way we live our lives, by what we say, that will help people come to know Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.